Good morning. I'm Barbara V. It's afternoon, sorry. Compulsive overeater, food addict. And I thought I was the second speaker.
Oops.
But I did get home in time. And so this won't be, well, that's my excuse. I thought I was the second speaker and I get to warm up. Okay. All right, ego, easing God out. Well, every single fourth and fifth step I have done in these rooms in the last 27 plus years, one of my unskillful habits, which is what I call character defects, has been the one of the attributes of having a big ego, arrogance and judgmentalism. Mm-hmm. And so I feel pretty well qualified to speak about this, but I had a hard time coming up with, what am I going to say? And as I've heard in the rooms, you know, a lot of times, and as my sponsors over the years have counseled me, when there's a situation that comes up, look in the literature, look in the indices of the literature and see what readings are there about this particular topic, whatever it is. And so I looked up ego in several of my OA literatures and both of the daily readers, and lo and behold, in our Voices of Recovery were four or five references to ego, one of which I was going to use, but Janice already read it. So we're done with that one, except I'm going to come back to what I particularly got out of it. So I hope what I have to share is meaningful. It was very powerful for me to think about this for the last couple of weeks and to try to think of, well, what's my experience here? I did writing, I did praying, I talked with my sponsor, and came back to what I originally thought about. Look in the literature and see what prompts me. So, September 21st, reading in the Voices of Recovery. I'm not going to read it, but what the big word I got out of it was humility. And humility is, to me, what I am practicing when I'm not in my ego, when I am recognizing and accepting myself as an ordinary person in the room, an ordinary recovering food addict. And in the reading, it said, humility frees me from the superlatives my ego wraps around me, where I think I'm better or worse, or could say this differently, whatever it is, that is ego. And that means that I am not in the place of recognizing I have a higher power, you have a higher power, we all deserve to be here. And when I let my self-importance, quote unquote, get in the way, I have eased my higher power out of the picture. I am thinking that I know the answer, I have the answer. And when I do that, consequences are people don't like me. I'm not able to explain myself. There's just all kinds of consequences. And if I let my higher power in and listen and pay attention, this is especially true as I sit in meetings and as I do service in the program, then I learn a whole lot. And I have, over the years, learned to listen and pay attention and just accept that we are all different. And what I've gained from that experience is good relationships with my two daughters, which was not the case when I came into these rooms. They were in their 20s and I was still thinking I needed to be the mom. Well, I didn't. They were grown up. They have their own ideas. And I learned in the rooms how to listen and how to recognize that we all are different and my way isn't the only way. And today I enjoy different and beautiful relationships with each of my two daughters who are in their 50s, okay? They certainly are their own women, but they call their mom just to talk or to run something by me. They actually ask for my advice. That would never have happened without what I have learned from you all about listening and not judging. So that's one of my very big promises, gains, gifts of this program. The April 7th reading was about perseverance and stubbornness. Stubbornness has kept me going to meetings because I knew that was how I was going to stay in recovery. I just had to keep going to the meetings, even if I didn't feel like being there, even if I was in relapse, and I have survived 3 relapses, not recommended, but I kept coming back to the meetings, getting my butt in a chair. I never went more than, I don't think, maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks if I was on a long business trip or something where I didn't get myself into a meeting. We didn't have many phone meetings or none that I knew about way back then. And even when I am slipping and sliding, the reason I'm slipping and sliding or in relapse is because I have quit having my higher power in my life and in charge. I have thought my stuff was more important. What's most important is that I work my program and be in touch with my higher power first. First things, and then the rest of my day can go on, no matter how important my job is or what I have to do or who's waiting for it. There is also a reading on the other side of that page, April 8th. If I disagree with God, guess who's wrong? My God is big and powerful, okay, and knows way more than I do. And if I'm not liking what's happening, that means I'm disagreeing with my higher power, with God, and I'm the one that's probably wrong. So that jumped out of the page at me, even though the page wasn't about ego. The other thing I've learned about ego is to about not easing God out is to ask God to help me with what his plans are for the day or the situation or whatever's going on, instead of asking him to help me with my plans. You know, I grew up praying, asking for what I wanted. That was my plans. And I've heard many different ways in these rooms from all of you. Ask if I can walk with God, not ask, you know, God to walk with me. So let's not ease God out of it. Let's follow. And one of the other readings was on February 9th. And it talked about if I'm abstinent and working the steps and sponsoring and doing service and all the good things that we do in recovery, working our program. And I've been doing that for imperfectly for 27 years. My disease has been out there getting stronger, doing push-ups in the parking lot, as people say. And today, don't I know it? Because when I slack off on my program essentials, first thing you know it, I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I need something to eat. I might be hungry before lunchtime. I'm going out, have to run errands, but I might get hungry. One of my old bad behaviors around food was eating in the car. So I don't keep food in my car anymore. But emergency food, you know, because there might be an emergency. I just might get a little hungry. Where was I going with that? Oh, if I'm not doing my spiritual work every single day and staying close to my higher power, then this kind of stuff creeps in. And first thing you know it, I'm having a slip. Eating between meals, except for the snack my nutritionist recommends in the afternoon, or if it's going to be 6 hours. That's a slip. I don't have perfect abstinence, but I have fewer and fewer slips when I am letting God in instead of easing God out by inattention or busyness or whatever. I have a personal higher power that was really important to me, that I could feel a personal presence when I'm praying, which is how I talk to God. I just talk. I say some ritual prayers, but I get along better if I just say what's on my mind. And so it was real important to me to have a personal higher power. I also have a personal disease. And my disease has had different names over the years. I won't share them because they're unprintable. But, and this is being recorded. That's just one of the things that has helped me to have a personal higher power. Male or female, different forms over the years. And sometimes it's a big angel with big wings that get in front of the refrigerator. But that has been really important to have a personal higher power. I have a disease. My disease requires medicine, just like I take several prescriptions for various bodily ailments, especially as I get older. And if I don't take those, I suffer consequences. If I don't do the medicine of my program, which is applying the tools, the prayer, the meditation, doing service, I have consequences. So, easing God out that word easing is, you know, I haven't turned away from God completely, but I have not considered my higher power as important as he should be. Today he's a he. I can't afford that. We can't afford that. I have, like I said, I've relapsed 3 times. Various things have gotten me back. I couldn't get in touch with God. One of my last relapse that lasted months, I just was beside myself. How am I going to get back in the groove? I would have a few good days and then I'd be just in the food and in my self-will. I guess that's another name for ego, self-will. I'm in charge. I'm doing it. I got to do this. Well, and I'll just share one of the ways I got out of relapse was I couldn't get in touch with the God I thought I knew. And I remembered all the times that I heard from one of the early OA members, one of the co-founders, actually, who was in my meetings in Austin, read the big book, 5 pages every day, over and over and over. And he had been in years, but he read 5 pages. And he just started at the beginning whenever he got to the end. I said, well, I'm going to read the big book. I can't, the prayers don't work. Going to church didn't work. All my spiritual stuff. I didn't think the big book was spiritual, but it really is. What happened was after about, 7 or 8 days of this, of reading a story, I decided I'd read a story and read the stories because I'd read the front part of the big book over and over, working the steps and in meetings with my sponsor, all that stuff. And so I just read a story a day, long story, short story, one story. And lo and behold, something in me changed. Now what I could analyze it to death. It was willingness to do what it was going to take, whatever it was, to try something new. And that was following a hunch I had, which had to be my higher power. So it wasn't me. I didn't do that. Okay. My higher power got me to that point of, God, I don't know what to do next. I just don't feel spiritual. And it worked. So I don't know what else to say about all this. I'm honored that I was asked to speak today. A lot of times I think I don't have much to share except that I can work with numbers and I do treasure work pretty good. Watching your faces, your smiles, your acceptance just makes my heart feel good. And I just hope I have had something to say that is meaningful to you, or that you think of when the food is calling. It's not me, it's my higher power that lets me stay in recovery, lets me be of service, lets me listen. And given me a most wonderful life. I could never have imagined that I'd live in the beautiful desert. I never imagined I'd love the desert. I started coming out here, to the Phoenix area a long time ago because my parents lived up there and so did my sister, but she retired down here. And I used to come out to visit, but I wanted my own place and didn't know that this was really where my heart was. So I am just grateful to you all, grateful to this program, which lets me be here now. And I think that's all I really have to share. Again, I want to ask God to help me with his plans every day instead of helping me with my plans. That's a really big takeaway from the readings I did in the Voices of Recovery. And I just, I don't know how long I've been talking, but maybe it's time for me to close.